Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American, American.
If it's Friday, then it's Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie. And today I've got a special co-host because Cool Mike is out doing his electioneering, and I want to welcome Doc Jones. Good afternoon, Doc Jones.
Good afternoon, Annie. He's out electioneering? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh, he won't be happy to hear that, but maybe that's exactly what he's doing. Wow. What a great day for news today. There's so much going on, Annie. Oh, my God. I'm just looking over here at Fox News and the Drudge Report. And, of course, Bill O'Reilly's gone off on Hagel and Carney. And thousands of doctors have been fired by UnitedHealthcare. Stand Up for Our Veterans is going on right now. I wish I could be there with them. There's so much going on. Former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, who fleeced the city out of quite a bit of money. He's been sentenced to 28 years in jail. Ted Cruz took down Van Jones a couple of days ago. I enjoyed that. So much happening. What about you?
I've been trying to play catch up because people know I had canceled the shows last week, and I had canceled the one for Tuesday. I was going down to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands where my parents live, and my father a couple of days beforehand had taken ill. And unfortunately, while I was down there, maybe it was God's will that I be there at that time because he did pass away. And I posted up in the chat room a tribute that I have written about my father. I originally wrote this back in October of 2009. And when he passed away, I came back home, and then I updated it a little bit so people can get a flavor of, you know, what a fantastic man he was. And this day is not going to go by where I am not going to miss him. And the day doesn't go by when I never stop thinking of him. Even though we had a great distance, you know, in space, you know, between the two of us, our hearts are always, always together. And I'm going to brag. I was his favorite. You know, I was the first girl born in seven generations in his family, and I held a special place in his heart. And I think, honestly, he waited for me to be there at his side. And he's now with God.
I am so sorry for your loss, Annie. And I, you know what? I can honestly say that. And sometimes I think that one never really understands the loss of a parent and is able to really say we're sorry for your loss, because unless you've actually experienced it, and I've lost both parents, and I understand exactly how you feel about missing them every single day and not forgetting them, and I've been through it, and so, and I'm sure if any of our listeners have been through this before, they understand as well. I'll keep you in our prayers here in my family, and of course, it's well understood.
No, thank you. So I've been a little slow in catching up, so just bear with me if I'm a little behind on certain things. We have our guests should be calling in at quarter after the hour, and we always dedicate a show to a fallen hero. And this guest requested that we dedicate it to heroes that have fallen, have been forgotten, but they're not gone. They're still with us, walking among us every single day. I'm talking about the men and women that serve in our military that suffer from PTSD. And PTSD is that hidden wound. It's one that is not seen. Someone can walk past you looking perfectly normal, but what they're suffering with inside is so traumatic. And we need to help these men and women. And for them, there is a website called MakeTheConnection.net, and it has great resources on it. These men and women, this PTSD is actually a silent killer, because you hear the stories about our military men and women committing suicide, what they've seen, what they've gone through. And, Doc, you've been in combat. You understand this. You know, me as a cop on the street, I've had to admit to myself that in some form or another, I had suffered from it. And I would say probably the passing of my father this past week had probably brought back certain things. The men and women that suffer from PTSD, they need our help. And they need you to help understand. They suffer from divorces. They get separated from their families. Their life becomes a living hell. But there are places for them to seek help. So if you know someone that's suffering from PTSD, reach out, give them a hand, you know, and have them make the connection. This website I found, MakeTheConnection.net, is a fantastic resource. You know, people that suffer from PTSD have troubles readjusting to society. A lot of them will end up suffering from alcohol or drug abuse in order to deal with their pain. But there is therapy out there. There are certain medications to help them through it. So, again, we dedicate this show to the men and women in our military that are suffering from PTSD. And for them, I'm going to dedicate this song, My Name is America, by Todd Allen Herndon. You can find this up on YouTube, and you can download it from his website, toddallen.com.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. My name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. For those who need me, I'll always be here. For those who will harm me, I'll face without fear. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me.
My name is America. Love that song. I always have to mute myself because I end up singing it in the background.
I end up singing it at 2 in the morning when I got to go pee.
Your wife must love that.
Especially when I hit that high note at the end. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, I want to welcome everyone into the chat room, and I see a friend of mine, Barry, his wife recently lost her father. So, Barry, a shout out to you. Tell Jean I said hi. It's funny. You know, I was down there visiting my father, and, you know, in St. Thomas, they drive on the opposite side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never done that before. But we rented a car, and I knew we were going to have to run my mom around to places and stuff. So I said, all right, you know, my husband's done it once before. I'll let him drive. Well, we get to the airport, and for whatever reason, I ended up driving. Do you know, it took me all of about 2 seconds to adjust. I only made two mistakes.
It's not that hard, is it?
No, it's not. You just have to, you know, I don't know, maybe because I can do things with both my hands. I'm semi-ambidextrous, so I had no problem just switching from the right to the left. Mm-hmm. And I shocked myself. I really shocked myself.
Well, I've never driven in on the main island of St. Thomas, but I have driven in on St. John, right across the way there. It's not that hard at all. I found that I thought I was gonna crash the vehicle when I was on St. John, but I wound up being okay.
Yeah, I only made, like I said, two small mistakes. I went to do a U-turn, so I pulled into someone's driveway. When I pulled out of the driveway, automatically I was on the right-hand side of the road. And it was mm-hmm. only until a truck was coming head-on with me that I realized I was on the wrong side of the road. And The other thing is it's all mountainous. Anyone that's been there, everything is mountains. So you're going to be going up a lot of hills, and everywhere you're walking there's always stairs all over the place. Well, my mother's driveway is crazy. At the very top of it is this hairpin turn. And if you don't hit it at the right speed and at the right angle, you end up wedging the car in the driveway. And the last day driving around, I wedged the car in the driveway.
Now, were you driving a standard transmission or were you
automatic.
Automatic. Yeah, because I mean, it's really tricky if you're driving a standard transmission as well. It's even worse.
If you had a standard transmission sitting on a lot of those hills, I could see the clutch being replaced at least once a year. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And every single car has dents on it, so you know everyone. They're nuts there. They really, really are nuts.
You know, that's one reason why I prefer St. John to St. Thomas is because, you know, the driving there is crazy. But either island is good for me, though.
But it is beautiful. Anyway, beautiful. Speaking about people driving, there's a truck rally going on in D.C., and you barely hear anything about it in the news. But if you go onto the Facebook page for them, you see photos being posted and truckers, you know, for miles. But you're not hearing anything in the news. And I'm wondering why.
No. And I've got the D.C. News and Virginia, you know, Northern Virginia News on my iPad, and I'm not getting much from that either. One does wonder why there's such a blackout of conservative goings on, especially these days. With the debt limits in play and the shutdown and all of that, I think the news media is straining credibility to support the current administration. But the news is getting out there. You know, the mainstream media is just that, mainstream. But there are other forms of media, as we know. We're among one of them with Blog Talk Radio and the social media. We're able to get the news out and in great numbers and with great success in a variety of other ways other than the mainstream media. So it's working out the way we want it to. At some point in the very near future, we're not going to have to worry about ABC, NBC, CBS, and MSNBC. Rely on them to get the message out because they're basically being overtaken. So many of the alphabet news media that I just cited, they're straining credibility such to the extent where nobody's really listening anymore.
Yeah, and another thing is that there's an unprecedented attack upon legitimate media by the Obama administration. There was a recent article posted in Associated Press of all places, that saying that they have whistleblowers, you know, people that are giving the inside information to the press to put out there, they're being prosecuted in record number, and they're having the media themselves, their lines are being subpoenaed, the telephone lines, their emails, and everything else. This administration is trying to funnel the news, and thank God for places like Facebook or a bunch of these other social websites that we can now exchange information and at least get it out there. But you hear nothing about a lot of this. But finally, I think they're being pushed a little too far by this administration. And if Associated Press is starting to push back, that means that I think they've actually stepped on the wrong toes at this point. So let's hope this media starts. Stops kowtowing to the administration.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not peering through rose-colored glasses when I said that the news media has predominantly leaned to one side with this current administration. So not so much. I mean, if we go back through history, I mean that's been the case with a variety of administrations, but mostly with liberal administrations where the liberal media, I mean, has been prevalent for the last maybe 60 years if I have to put a number on it. It's been quite a long time, but the news is getting out. We are finding a variety of ways of getting our message out, and it's no wonder that newspaper circulation has dropped to the point where most of these news outlets these news organizations are going to social media. They're leaning heavily for their circulation numbers on the internet and on and on. But they have strained credibility with their one-sided approach to reporting the news, and it's quite sad. And Fox News, as much as some liberal talking points, a part of folks like to put out, Fox News has the predominant number of viewers and listeners on their television and radio programs because quite frankly, it is true. They are fair and balanced. They give both sides of the story. You know, and, they, and of course, they lean toward conservatism, but, you know, it's a lot more fair than, say, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and, of course, MSNBC.
Yeah, unfortunately, Fox News at times will disappoint me because you're dealing with New York elite. And there's a mindset, unfortunately, if you're in the city of New York, you get you tend to be softer. You're not as hard a conservative as, say, you or I would be. And so one of the reasons why I was glad I fled New York. But they're not 100% solid conservative when you're talking about some of the pundits on Fox News. I mean, even Charles Krauthammer at times, I shake my head and go, wait a minute, where is he coming from in some of this? You got to also remember, Fox News is now owned by a Saudi Arabian prince. So which side do you think they're going to be coming in on a lot of these issues? You know, if the boss turns around and says, then you have to wonder and worry. And like I said, this trucker rally, you do a keyword search and you find things, their stories are from a couple of days ago, but nothing about what is happening today. And I guess they're trying to make it look like it was a fizzle, but as I understand it, it's not a fizzle at all. It's
indeed.
So I give a handout to these guys. You know, if you're in the D.C. area and you're going to be riding along the Beltway or I-95, make sure you have on your car these displayed somewhere in your window or something like that. T2SDA, which stands for Truckers to Shut Down America. If you have those initials in your on your car window or something like that, you let truckers know that you're in solidarity with them to rally for the Constitution, and they will do everything they can to not block you if you have this on your car. So, you know, if you're in the D.C. area, give them, you know, a thumbs up and give them some support there. Man, there's so much that is going on, Doc. I mean, I don't even know where to start. There's a headline on Fox News, Dry Run for Terror, and they're talking about terrorists have been conducting dry runs at domestic airports. Now, that's scary. Now, having flown through Atlanta, that is a humongous, humongous airport. And you have to go from one story down to another and then back up again to just change gates. And if they're doing dry runs on these airports, I'm wondering when and how soon will they be attacking us?
Is this a credible report or is this speculation or?
It's from the Pilots Association.
Mm-hmm.
So if the pilots themselves have something to fear, they're saying, "Do not be afraid to not take off if you feel something is amiss."
Mm-hmm.
So if they're telling pilots that, then there's something. There's some intel out there that's saying that someone's planning an attack and it will be involve our airports.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hope that we can avoid I tend to think that maybe this is wishful thinking on some folks' part in terms of, heightening the alert status. But I don't know. I mean, we've been through this many times before where we've heard rumors of something that may be coming down the pike that that hasn't. So I don't know. I find it I don't know. But I won't be complacent about it because one does never know. But, so many of these threats have simply just not borne fruit.
But it could also be because the intel is out there and we are more alert. They're thwarted, and we don't hear about the ones that are thwarted. We only hear about the ones that succeed. So there's a lot going on. It's like when I was flying out. At the airport, you had already gone through security and screening, but before you got on the plane, TSA showed up at the gate and started to check everyone's ID and the tickets.
Yeah.
And they were saying it was a spot check, but just about every single person that got on that flight was checked. And as it is, you know, if you've ever gone through airport security, you know, they've got these new X-ray machines and everything else, and you put your hands over your head. Well, unfortunately, because of my mechanical parts, I can't go through those machines, and I can't raise one arm completely over my head. So going down and coming back, I got the full pat down.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, well, figure, go me.
And now, do you believe this occurred because of the concerns about a possible attack occurring sometime soon, or was it just the standard way of doing things?
It looked like just a standard way, and I didn't see anyone else being pulled out. But because I set off all the alarms because of the metal that's in my body, I ended up with the full pat down. So, folks, I'm glad that the security is there, but it's very uncomfortable having it done to you, too. You know, you're standing there and everyone's looking at you. And
exactly. I'd just like to touch on this one thing before we move on, before I forget. George Simmons. G-Ski, 2020 Radio Network, is in a hospital. He suffered a stroke, and he was in intensive care for a few days, and then he was moved to a standard room here in Atlanta, at the Atlanta Medical Center. I just like to I heard that he had gotten that he'd suffered a stroke, and of course I'm here in the Atlanta area, and I wanted to go visit him. So I got in my car and I drove the 30 some odd miles to Atlanta Medical Center to visit him. And I got to the ICU. I had a nice gift for him and everything. And I stood in front of the nurse's station and I said, I didn't say anything because I had no idea what G-Ski's name was besides G-Ski. It never occurred to me to find out what his name is. I figured if I'd gotten to the hospital, he is in room 231, and I would just go to that room, and he'd be there. Well, when I got there, he wasn't in the room. There was some old lady in there. He'd already been moved. And so I had to ask what his name was. And and the nurses, they were very nice. They're very kind, and they're trying to help me find him. And eventually, they did because they simply looked back to who who was in the room before the other person. However, the nurse was the Asian extraction. And she didn't speak clearly enough for me. And so his last name came out Shannon's instead of Simmons. And so I went to the fourth floor and I looked for Mr. Hammond. I couldn't find him. Well, just to shorten the story, I eventually found his room and he wasn't in there. So I wound up driving all the way back home empty-handed and without seeing him. I plan to go back and visit him tomorrow morning when I know he's there and I know his name. And present him with a nice gift and wish him, you know, a speedy recovery. But I'd just like to, you know, he's part of our conservative Blog Talk family, and I'd like to everyone to know that, you know, from what I understand, he's doing very well, and he's going to come back strong in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, I meant to ask you about that earlier, and our prayers do go out to G-Ski and his family. We do wish him a speedy recovery. And he's got all the love and support from this community that he could ever hope for. So, you know, I'm sure he's missed with all the people that love following him, but we want to give our prayers and ask everyone else to pray for him and his family. It's
indeed.
Yeah. The hope he comes back with 100% strong, you know, you suffer a stroke. You never know how a person's going to respond and coming back. Because I know when I had my mini stroke last year, it was last February, I looked and sounded normal, but I found myself with certain memory lapses, certain problems with my speech, certain problems with my balance, and that's for a mini stroke. Having a full stroke, you know, he is in my prayers. He definitely is in my prayers.
Yeah, indeed. And we look forward to him coming back strong. So I'll see him tomorrow, and I'll report back, once I've seen him, with my own two eyes. So what else is going on? What else is happening in the news? Everything is happening, Annie, every single thing. These are very interesting days we have ahead of us here with the debt ceiling fight and the shutdown and all the things going on with that. It's simply amazing. It's like we're watching a soap opera right before our very eyes. And one wonders, and is hearing rumblings, that the GOP is about to cave in yet again to Obama's demand when it appears that conservatives have the upper hand in Congress and in the Senate. What do you think?
Now, from what I'm hearing and listening to Mitch McConnell speaking on the floor just a little while ago, I know that Boehner and the others are going to they're going to cave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive they will cave. And, Obamacare will not be delayed for a year. There will be no attempt to completely repeal it. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is why the upcoming elections are so important. That we've got to get these rhinos out and get people in that will listen to the will of the people.
Well, what do you think accounts for the GOP caving? Obama's poll numbers are the lowest that they've ever been, the lowest of any sitting president in recent memory. Even though Congress has a very poor approval rating, they seem to be winning in public opinion. Why do you think the surrender is about to take place? On the Drudge Report, polls suggest disgust with Obama. Congress could bring big changes in 2014. That's one of the headlines from a My Way article. If we're winning, why cave?
Well, everyone thinks Obama is the president, but he's not. The person that is acting, that is making all the decisions in that office is not him. It's Valerie Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does goes past her. So she's sitting there like a spider in the center of a web and waiting for the flies to land. And once they go into her trap, she's got them. And
mm-hmm.
you can be mad with Obama, but look who is actually pulling the strings on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's Chicago politics. And it's White House is Chicago politics, pure and simple. You know, listening to Carney in the press conference, the way he was spinning things, oh, those evil, mean Republicans, those arsonists, those terrorists, the jihadists, they're calling the Republicans all these names, and none of the Republicans are fighting back. The only one you hear doing a slam down, as you said earlier, is Ted Cruz. Now, I missed hearing that, so you got to tell me exactly what happened between Ted Cruz and the person he slammed down.
Yeah, it was none other than Van Jones coming right back out of the woodwork. We thought he was gone, but apparently he is back. But before we get into that, I don't even know, perplexed, perhaps, as to why the GOP seems to, in the Senate and certainly in the House, cave in to Obama's demands, his holding the country hostage, even though he says that the Republicans are doing so. Why are our representatives caving the way they have, and why do they continue to do so? Is it because the elections are coming up and they believe that they could lose the House, or maybe they have a chance to gain the Senate, and if they continue this back and forth, they may lose that? What is the real story here? We're winning in the public opinion of polls. We're winning in the argument here. Obama's numbers are going down, not up, as a result, a direct result of what's happening here. Why is this guy being caved? Why are we caving into this guy? Come on.
Well,
somebody's got to have an answer.
If you listen to what they're doing out there, it's the moderates that are caving. It's the moderates that are trying to drown out true conservatives. You hear it from McConnell. You hear it from Boehner. You even John McCain and Lindsey Graham are getting their 2 cents in. And if you can get any more of a rhino than those two, you know, please show me. These are the moderates that are actually leading the charge, and they're dragging everyone with them. And we've got to make sure that the ones that are true conservatives, the guys like Mark Sanford, Ted Cruz, and so on and so forth, that they get their voices out there and drown the others out. I mean, yes, there's going to be dissension in the political party, in the Republican Party. There's dissension among the Democrats. You've got Democrats siding with Republicans. So, you know, it's not just Republicans that are squabbling among themselves. Everyone else is, too. It's the nature of politics. You know, it's the beast of politics. Let the squabbling go on and the chips fall where they may. And we've got to keep fighting at it, you know.
No doubt. I couldn't agree more. But that just simply doesn't seem to be the case in this case. It seems to be like every you know, the Republicans put up a good showing. It goes on for a couple of weeks, maybe a few days, and then they give in. You know, and then somehow claim victory. It seems like all Obama really has to do is wait them out, you know.
Exactly.
And
like
he's been
said,
doing that for the last 6 years.
Yeah, like a spider in the web. And Valerie Jarrett is the one that built that web. And she's the one sitting there, and she's dangling him in front of everyone. You know, look at my little baby boy here. You know, mommy says this, and baby boy does it.
Yeah. And
so,
well,
you know, and it's also temper tantrum, too. Obama sits there in his Oval Office and says, you will do what I say. Excuse me, you are not a king, but he's act as if he's royalty. Like, this is my throne. You know, how many pictures do we see of him sitting there at the Oval Office down in the desk with his feet up on the desk?
Yeah, yeah, that desk has got to go, first of all. As soon as when he goes, that desk should go with him.
It needs to be fumigated.
The whole place needs to get. I mean, you know, George Bush, W, said it best when he, I believe he was on the Tonight Show just before he took office, and he said, "What was the first thing you're going?" He said he was asked by, I think it was David Letterman, "What's the first thing you're going to do when you go into the White House?" And George Bush said, and I was watching it live. Well, I was watching it on television. He said, "Give it a good scrubbing," and those are his exact words. I quote, "Give it a good scrubbing." End quote. And that's exactly what needs to be done when the Obamas leave for the very last time. Give that place a good scrubbing, and get those guys out of there. And you know, no doubt he'll go down as one of the worst presidents in the history of the United States, only to be rivaled by Jimmy Carter himself.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I lived through Jimmy Carter. I did not vote for him. And when he was in office, we were all saying he's the worst. But actually, no, they make him look like a Girl Scout, you know, really,
yeah,
truly.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, at the very, you know, the only thing that, you know, that saves Jimmy Carter from being absolutely worse than Obama is that Jimmy Carter at least was, you know, governor of the state. And he had some experience dealing with people and on different sides of different arguments. And so, but Obama has no experience doing anything other than being Mr. Obama. So the reason, you know, he is not a leader. He is not a manager. He has no idea what he's doing. And yet, for some reason or another, folks believe he's some kind of genius. He's the smartest man in the room. Oh my goodness! It is just amazing to me how people believe that this guy is some sort of a messiah. Like, he is a genius. He is so smart. He is so intelligent. His intelligence just boggles the mind. This guy, you know what? I've experienced this kind of adulation myself. Folks think because I can speak English, and you know, I'm smarter than somebody else. And so magnify that with Mr. Obama 1,000 times. People believe because he's relatively decent looking and because he speaks the English language well that somehow he is a genius. My goodness, no. he's going to go down as one of the worst presidents in the history of this great country. And quite frankly, I don't think he cares anymore.
No, he doesn't, unfortunately. And just think of the damage he can do once he's out of office. That in itself is scary. You know, talking about Obamacare, this was in the Daily Mail. God bless this mail online. The Brits, they get it. Exclusive. Just 51,000 people, only 51,000 completed Obamacare applications during the website's first week out of tens of millions of Americans in 36 states. Think about that. How many people do they need to sign up for Obamacare for it to be viable? They say they need 7 million customers to stay afloat financially. 7 million. And out of the 7 million, they needed only 51,000 signed up. And that's – and they still – I don't know if you saw last night, Steve Doocy's son, I forget what his first name is. He's now a reporter for Fox – Peter, I thank you. He tried to go online using three different state sites trying to sign up for Obamacare, and he could never get past step one. So what does he do? He calls the hotline, and the hotline says it's our policy not to sign anyone up by telephone. Now, what if someone doesn't have a computer? What if someone does not have a computer? How would they sign up? But he couldn't even get his name in it. He couldn't even go through the sign-up screen because it kept on locking him out. And he said he tried each site three times, and each time he could not get in. So Obamacare seems like it's working, isn't it? It's quite a success, isn't it?
Well, when I hear that story, I'm hearing the Obama administration giving out free computers to go along with those free cell phones and spending more taxpayer money. And for those who can't get onto our Obamacare website, you can't afford to get onto a computer, we'll give you one for free, and then you'll be able to get on the net, because it should be everyone's right to be able to access the internet, because of course the internet is owned by the government, and you have a right to be able to surf the web, and because you have that right, we're going to go ahead and issue you government laptops. So that's all. That's what I'm hearing from that story. You know, and I don't think it's going to work. Of course not. Of course Obamacare is not going to work. And frankly, I find it difficult to believe that all of these folks that have been placed in office are complete idiots. I think they know it's not going to work. I think, but they had to do something. They wanted to do something. It can't be more than a symbolic gesture. It's never going to work. The way they set it up, it's never going to work. And either we're going to revert back to the standard way of doing business as it relates to healthcare, or, Annie, they're going to try to use this failure, this epic failure, as a way to get a single-payer option directly to the United States government. The VA, you know, and they'll probably tie it into the VA, which is what they should have done in the first place if they were going to even make an effort to make it work.
Yeah, this is right now flu season. A lot of people going for the flu shots, and you're talking about a single payer system like Medicare and Medicaid type of thing.
I'm not advocating it now.
No, I'm not advocating it at all. But here in the state of South Carolina, there's an article in today's paper that if you want to go for your flu shot, if you have Medicaid or Medicare, they will not give you a flu shot. They will only give it to people without insurance.
Wow.
Can you believe this? They say if you go over to the Department of Health to get your flu shot. Now, there was one gentleman, he tried going a little over a month ago, and they told him that he had to come back next month. So he comes back the following month. They said, you've got Medicare and Medicaid. We can't give you the shot. Does this make sense to you at all? Here you are, in a single-payer system under Obamacare. Can you imagine having this happen nationwide under Obamacare? If you've got Obamacare, we're not going to give you the medication because you've got insurance. But if you don't have insurance, you can come in and get it.
Well, you know what, Annie, here's what I think. I believe in, you know, that the American people, a lot of Americans are used to being led. But once these efforts by these liberals start to hit them where they live, these folks who believe that the government has a right and should be, quote, taking care of us, end quote, once it starts to hit them personally and members of their family, they're going to turn against it. I have a strong faith that the American people, those who are on the side of this catastrophe in the making, are going to abandon it. They're going to speak out against it. And we already see that happening. We have a question in the chat room here. Why is it not understandable? What is not understandable is why he is being appeased as it relates to Obama and our question earlier. I don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you this. What is happening with this guy, I mean, there's all sorts of talk about impeachment. There's talk about, you know, removing him from office. It's all just a bunch of talk. I have virtually no hopes that the GOP is going to grow a backbone between now and the time Obama leaves office and just kind of stand up to this guy. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, because if you do stand up to him, then the opposition says, oh, you don't like him because he's black. You're a racist.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid
so much,
of hearing
so afraid
that.
Of, so afraid of being labeled as racist. And it's like a pathology. Oh, we can't be seen as being racist. Who cares about that stuff? I mean, seriously, come on. Let it go.
You can call me
do
that as
job.
Much as you like. As long as I know in my heart of hearts, I'm not. I don't like him because I don't like his policies. I never liked his policies. And it's his policies I detest. Go ahead. Call me a racist. Call me a bigot. Call me whatever you want. It's simply a name. It means nothing to me. I will hold to my values. I will hold what is true. I will stay conservative. If he wants to turn this into a socialist nation, I will oppose. And I am opposing him not because of his race. I am opposing him because of his policies. Heck,
well,
I supported Herman Cain, so how can I be a racist?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I know quite a few people who voted for Mr. Obama the first time around who now oppose his policies, who oppose him at every turn. Were they all of a sudden turn racist? After he got into office, after they voted for him, you know, I hear folks in my, quote, community, end quote, saying that, well, now the hoods have finally come off. Really? The hoods have finally come off? What the heck does that mean? No, he could not have become president of the United States without, you know, the white vote or those, quote, so-called racist folks. He would not have become president. It makes no sense to me. It's just the whole world's going crazy, and we're living in it.
Yeah, and we're living it. And if Republicans were so racist, why is it now Lindsey Graham and John McCain are his new best friends?
Yeah. Well they're not. They've seen the light, Annie. They've seen the light. Like Obama said privately, a lot of Republicans agree with me. Well, you know, we all thought, a lot of us thought, you know, that's a bunch of crap. You know, he's just saying that. But maybe, Annie, he was right. Maybe secretly, a few Republicans do agree with him, like Lindsey Graham and John McCain. John McCain's always been a maverick, and folks have celebrated his being a maverick. But in terms of politics, that's not helpful. And it just hasn't been. That whole maverick thing, well, that sounds very romantic. You know, when you're a prisoner of war or a rogue Navy fighter pilot back in the 60s. But when it comes to politics, he is, you know, him being a rogue, John McCain, it's not working out.
No. And look at the mess it's got us into. And Lindsey Graham is up for re-election. So we've got three people going up against him in the primary. And I'm going to try to see if I can get Lee Bright back on, because I think Lee Bright's got the best chance against Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, it's well known that you have very little regard for Representative Graham in terms of his political behavior in the last few years. I often wondered, you know, why you didn't why you didn't really like his policies, but you know, after studying them, you know, now I've come to be like minded in that effort. So hopefully,
yeah.
You know, he'll be gone too when we'll get a real Republican in there.
Yeah, and if anyone sees his Facebook page, he posts these things up. It makes him sound like he's such a strong conservative. And don't worry, dear. Every time I see one of his postings, I go after him. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have no qualms with it. And I had someone sitting down go, but I like Graham. And I said, well, are you aware of X, Y, Z? And all of a sudden the jaw drops and goes, no, I didn't. And one of the things I'm fighting him on is his aid to the Muslim Brotherhood. I object to him sitting in our house, the White House, sitting down for a meal with these murderers, these terrorists. He did that along with McCain. I object to that. I object to his stance on Egypt right now. He's saying, which is Obama is now doing, holding up aid to Egypt. Why? Because they're not allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to participate in government. The reason why Egypt doesn't want the Muslim Brotherhood, because they saw what happened under them. They outlawed them back in the 1920s because they saw the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And now the military that is running the government wants the Muslim Brotherhood out. The people, the entire nation stood up and threw out Morsi because he was in charge of the Muslim Brotherhood. They said no to the Muslim Brotherhood. And who are we to turn around and blackmail the Egyptians, our allies, blackmail our allies, and support our enemies? And this is Lindsey Graham and John McCain and President Obama. So,
well,
yes.
Let's hope that Lindsey will be soundly defeated and sent packing. I have no illusions that he'll probably remain in office. You know, a lot of folks like him, you know, and I don't think enough find him you know, distasteful to remove him. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Lindsey Graham got chummy with the GOP chair here in South Carolina, and the Republicans with the GOP's chair support recently wanted to close our primaries. Meaning a closed primary is only if you are a registered Republican would you vote in the Republican primary, and the same for Democrats. We had a lawsuit here in the state of South Carolina to create these closed primaries. The GOP chair sat down with Lindsey Graham, and they had a little chat. And now all of a sudden they withdrew from the lawsuit. They withdrew from the lawsuit. So now, as it stands, our primaries stay open. The reason why Lindsey Graham wanted an open primary, on the intended vote, on so Democratic voters. So if he can get those supporters to vote for him in the primary, Lindsey Graham will end up being our next senator from the state of South Carolina. If we can close the primaries, which does not look good, he will not. And that is why Lindsey Graham wants an open primary, and why Lindsey Graham will always be a rhino, and why I will always oppose Lindsey Graham.
There we go. There you have it. He's got to go. And hopefully he will. Now, the candidates who are vying for his seat are, how on a scale, how many are there, for example?
There's three vying going against him.
On a scale of 1 to 5, how much more conservative are they than Lindsey Graham?
On a scale of 1 to 5, all three, 5.
Wow.
I give 3 a 5.
Wow.
Now, Recently, there was some attacks on Nikki Haley when she was running for office. There was this rumor of her having an affair. And there's a online news called Fit News. And mm-hmm. Will Folk was partners with one of the candidates, Nancy Mace, in Fit News. And when they started publishing these items about her having an affair and so on and so forth, which has never been proven, Nancy Mace was part of that. She was partners with this guy. So she was directly involved in this stuff. So that's why I'm backing off on any support I have for her personally, because I didn't agree with what was going on. And I got a lot of people that bring it up. So I would dismiss her, unfortunately, because when she was on the show, she sounded as a good, strong conservative. Everything that she said and did that I've seen sounded like that of a good, strong conservative. But having learned this, I then question, I'm trying to think of the proper word, her ethics.
Mm-hmm.
So if I question someone's ethics, then I question how well they will represent me when they sit in that seat, when they do get elected. Lee Bright, he's got a proven record. He's been a state senator. We know what his record is. We know what his votes are. We know his initiatives. And they are strong, strong conservative. On a scale of 1 to 10, he is a 12.
And what are the chances of defeating Lindsey Graham in the upcoming election?
If it's Lee Bright going head-to-head against Lindsey Graham, I would give a 50-50, honestly. Because
mm-hmm.
you never know what those...
Will you be campaigning in their efforts?
I would say, as part of the Tea Party, I have to refrain because we don't endorse candidates going into a primary. That's something that our group has decided not to do. But as the face of the Tea Party, I can't. What I say as an individual is different. So that's how I have to step back, you know. But I would encourage anyone who wants to work in their campaign and help them with it, I would encourage. I said, yes, get involved. You know, I will give you whatever information you need, whatever contact stuff, you know. But I'm going to do it fairly to all four candidates. But I'll still personally oppose Lindsey Graham every step of the way. And as it stands, slowly and surely, there has been a movement across South Carolina. There's 46 counties. Right now, 3 out of the 46 counties, the GOP in those counties have censured Lindsey Graham. So there is a censure effort going on, and it's starting to slowly pick up momentum. And matter of fact, there is up on the internet, which I'm going to post in the chat room, a petition. If anyone lives in the state of South Carolina, I would say copy this link and send it to a person that lives in the state of South Carolina and ask them to send it. It's for South Carolina citizens in support of censure of Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right now there's 157 signatures on it. So if you know someone in South Carolina, copy the link and email it to them and tell them to get it out to as many people as possible, asking them to sign it and pass it on. I want to see this thing go viral.
Yeah. Wow.
And
you've
got Jermaine in the chat room, too. So welcome, Jermaine. And we've got some guests.
There he is.
Dan. Yep. Welcome, Jermaine. But
Jermaine was nowhere to be found when I was in the Atlanta hospital looking for G-Ski's name, and I was told that Jermaine knows his name. And I look for Jermaine. I called. He's got like 10 numbers, contact numbers. I look for him on Skype and everywhere else, but I couldn't find him while I was standing in that hospital trying to find out G-Ski's name. Now I even wonder whether or not Jermaine knows G-Ski's real name. But, so glad to have you, Jermaine. Glad to see you, man. It's been a long time since we've chatted. Indeed.
Now, we were talking about political correctness. I don't know if you came across this article. This came out in Freedom Outpost yesterday. Hamas, Care Muslims, attempts to force Maryland schools to observe Islamic holidays. Now, this is political correctness going amok. We've got two national holidays. We've got Christmas and Easter, and the Christian holidays. They're not a religion-specific holidays. They're just general Christian holidays. And they happen to fall on Sundays, so all government offices are closed anyway. But now they want Muslim holidays to be observed. And you think about this. If we were to do that for every single religion, you'd have no school.
Yeah.
Every Jewish holiday, exactly. Every Christian holiday, every Hindu holiday, every Muslim holiday. And if you try to do that, there would be no classes. Maybe that's what the point is, to dumb down America.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what is, I mean, I've asked this question. I'm asking what is going on here. But, I mean, we seem to be in a situation where we're attempting to appease the Muslim community beyond all reason. You know, there should be some voice out there that says, no, we really shouldn't do this because it'll set what? What are we hearing from the liberals? If we do this, it'll set a precedent. Well, maybe someone should say, well, we really shouldn't do this, regardless of whether it's for the Muslim community or any other community, because it'll set a precedent. You know, or maybe a lot of folks should go out and say, well, if they're going to do this for this particular group of people, then we want it done for us as well. And just throw it out there so they'll just go ahead and stop this madness altogether. But, you know, that's too much common sense.
Yeah. What's even worse is the fact that CARE is still an organization here in the United States. You know, the federal government has recognized them as having ties to terrorists. We know that they have direct ties to terrorists. We know that they are infiltrated with terrorists. They've had people that were their chairs that were terrorists, and we still listen to these people. What's worse is CARE is involved in training, in sensitivity training, to the Department of Homeland Security, to the FBI, to the CIA, to the military. They are in our schools. They are in our local government. They have ties everywhere. And this is a terrorist-linked organization. You know, one of the reasons why I refuse to go into a Best Buy is because two years ago, when CARE had their convention in Kansas City, Best Buy was their sponsor. There are businesses that cater to CARE. And if you know of one, do not... Do not use their services. Do not shop there. And every time I see someone walking to a Best Buy and I says, do you know they support Muslim terrorists? And there's a Radio Shack
sure
a couple of doors down that you can go to, or there's a Walmart right over there. And within walking distance, matter of a couple of feet, you can walk into Walmart, get the same item, probably cheaper. Or if you need an electronic part, walk over there to Radio Shack. It's about five doors down and solicit them. But I stop people from walking into Best Buy if I see them going in. And it's a true story.
Do they look at you weird, or do they just...
Sometimes.
Do they leave? Yeah.
Sometimes. But, you know, you get this little guinea upset, you know, and she's going to fight that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you really know that you're committed to something important, and you're willing to, you know, to stop somebody and say, hey, you know, you're going in there and they're supporting this and that. But yeah, I find that interesting. I mean, I've never had anyone ever do that, from, you know, approach me that way and say, hey, you know, not even with that the thing when the apartheid was going on, and there was this big movement for folks not to buy diamonds from South Africa, or for performers not to go there or anything. But yeah. I tell you what, Annie, we are living through some interesting times here, and that is not a compliment to what is going on. Not at all.
No, not at all, at all. And they hit you with so many things on the news, and you've got news 24/7. You know, when we were growing up, the news came on at night. You know, about 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, you would have the news, and you'd sit there for just a little bit, and you get local news and some world snippets towards the end and a little sports, and that's it. You know, you read the newspaper.
Yeah.
But now with the 24/7 news cycle, people are actually numb. And I think that's why some of the stuff that's happening is happening, because people are numb. They'll turn it off and they'll just zone out in Dancing with the Stars or American Idol or the latest TV sitcom. And some of these things that they call sitcoms are absolutely revolting.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Annie, we have lived through an age, you and I, through an age when the television ceased to function after a certain hour, where there was just static. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Because
oh,
I
yes.
still do. Yeah, there was no programming at all.
Not until I think it was like 5 or 6 in the morning, then the program would come back on. You would just have a test signal. You know, you would have late night radio, and a lot of people would turn on late night radio. And I don't know if anyone's ever really listened to late night radio, but it's hysterical. Out come all the weirdos. I mean, all the whack jobs come out.
And I am a purveyor of these whack jobs. Cool Mike just signed in. I am I am so happy that my main man Art Bell has come back to radio after, what, a 10-year hiatus, maybe a little bit longer. So, when you talk about crazy, way out there where the buses don't run kind of stuff, he is back and true to form. I started listening to Art Bell. He's on Sirius Satellite Radio right now. I started listening to Art Bell back when I was doing that long-distance driving from Miami to Chicago. It would keep me awake at all hours of the night with all that weirdness that was going on. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of weirdos come out at night. The freaks come out at night, Annie, no doubt.
And I can tell you, having worked midnight beats in Brooklyn, oh, yes, they are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the sun goes down and like vampires, they emerge.
Yeah. Now, who is credited with starting the television programming, kick-starting the television programming for a 24-hour television programming? Can you tell me who?
That was with CNN.
No. It was my main man, Howard Hughes, who kicked that off. He couldn't sleep back in 1976, I believe, 1974, 75, somewhere around that time period. Don't hold me to the actual year. But he couldn't sleep. He was an insomniac. You know, he was taking the drugs and all that, and he was sitting in this big old Barco lounger eating TV dinners. That was his staple at that time. And he wanted to watch television. But the television ceased to function there in Las Vegas after a certain hour. So he bought the television station, the local concern there, and he put on movies that he liked. You know, and had the movies playing, you know, from midnight when the television ceased to function until morning. And it kind of caught on after that. And then our main guy took over. He took over for Howard Hughes in terms of weirdness. He started CNN. But, in fact, he did start CNN. He got the idea directly from what Howard Hughes did. Back in the 70s with regard to having those old movies from RKO, which is a movie studio that he once owned, playing on television so that he would keep him company while he was up all night. Yep. True story.
Wow. Well, I think back in 76, I was in college at the time, so I wasn't paying much attention to that. My mind was on other things.
I'm sure.
I was actually working at one point three different jobs to put myself through college. So, I can tell you stories about that. I mean, that you were getting up in the morning about 6 o'clock to go to college, having gotten home at 2 or 4 o'clock in the morning on your feet all day. It wasn't fun. It was not fun at all.
No doubt.
I actually had an alarm clock, a pillow, and a blanket in my car. So when I drove from one job to the other, I could take a quick nap and then get into work on time. But I put myself through it, and I did it. You know,
I'll have to take your word for that, Annie, because I was only 15 years old.
Well,
you're not laughing.
Well, you know, they always say, don't ask a woman her age. But, you know, I'm not ashamed. I'm just a couple of years older than you. Not much. Not much
no,
at
not
all.
Not much at all. Not much at all. No.
But I'm better looking.
Of course. Of course. That goes without saying. Yep.
Now, talking about weird stuff, we recently had those snowstorms out in South Dakota. And something that no one's talking about, you know, they're talking about, you know, this budget crisis and, you know, laid off government workers who are getting two paychecks, but they're not talking about what's happening to the ranchers and the farmers out there. There are 75,000 cows were killed during the blizzard. And when you consider each cow can bring up to $1,500 per head, that's a heck of a lot of money. A huge hit for these guys out there. So I'm not going to be surprised if we see prices on meat go up in the stores. But these people need some help.
No doubt.
They say it was the worst early season snowstorm. I mean, you got to remember, we're only in October. And we know snow can hit as late as May. So these people are going to have one hellacious, hellacious winter.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I wonder what's being done for the cattlemen. Is the government going to step in, or is the local government going to step in? Is there anybody? One wonders: are the cattle insured? If what's going on is covered by insurance or what? I don't know. I mean, there's certain questions that I would have. If this sort of thing were to occur, on my farm.
Well, they're saying early estimates suggest that maybe as much as 5% of the cattle were lost.
Mm-hmm.
Some individual ranchers reported losses of 20 to 50% of their stock.
Wow.
So this is going to be devastating to that region. And it affected more than 22,000 homes and businesses. They're saying as of this point, a lot of them are still without power. I mean, in the cold with no power.
Wow.
So our prayers are going to be going out to the people in South Dakota. Jeez.
No doubt.
So much is going on. And like you said, you know, we're getting hit 24/7. So I wanted to ask you, I wanted to start off with this, but we got sidetracked. What is going on with our military? Right now, you got a 3-star admiral that's been fired, and he was deputy chief of the nuclear command. And also fired is an Air Force general, again, over nuclear missiles, in charge of nuclear missiles. What is going on with our military and this administration?
I don't know. This is the first I'm hearing of this. I'll have to look into it. What indeed is going on? The first thing I would think is that there was some malfeasance with the officers. Maybe they were doing something they weren't supposed to, or maybe simply they decided not to follow orders that were given to them. I mean, if you want to go into conspiracy theories and do my thing with Art Bell, one wonders why. What news do you have?
This is up on Fox News. I'm looking at it right now. It's directly below the story of the attack. And I printed out that story last night on cattle from another source. Matter of fact, where did I get this on the cattle? This is from The Blaze, Glenn Beck's online news source, The Blaze. Looks like Fox picked it up from him. But under this administration, I've never seen as many attacks on the military as under this administration. I've never seen it. You know, you've got this recent scandal about the 27 military people killed in Afghanistan and their families being denied the death benefits. And now all of a sudden, within 24 hours, Congress rushes this through and it ends up on Obama's desk for signature. I haven't heard yet whether or not he signed it. But denying death benefits to our military, that is the most reprehensible thing that anyone could ever do. You know, you ask these men and women to sacrifice themselves for our safety. and then you treat them and their families in this manner.
Even
there
if they're
is
using
no
it
explanation
as a,
for it.
And even if they're using it as a political ploy, you know, to win sympathy and to highlight the shutdown and how it's harming our men and women in service, it's not even a good reason. It's not even an excuse. It makes no sense. It's one of the worst things you can do. You're absolutely correct. Something was done about it. It's my understanding that Obama has indeed signed those death benefits, and that all will be well in that area. But they had, I mean, it was just the height of incompetence to even have that situation occur, even if it was just for a day. I tell you, there's a reason why Obama is his poll numbers are dropping so badly. You know, he is being blamed for this shutdown. He is the leader, if you will, and I use that term very loosely when describing him. He is the one who is supposed to bring everyone together. He is the one who is supposed to. Why is this clown being compared with Lincoln so much? If Lincoln were president right now, this whole thing would be handled. It would all be done because Lincoln was actually smart and astute, politically astute. Lincoln actually knew how to get along with people. Lincoln knew how to put his own personal pride and his ego aside for the greater good. Obama doesn't have those attributes. Why is that clown constantly being compared with President Lincoln? He's not from Illinois. Well, and then again, neither was Lincoln, really. But nevertheless, there is no comparison. There should never be a comparison between the two. Obama has no idea how to manage anything. Probably, I'm certain he doesn't even manage his own household.
No, I'm positive about that. You know, what gets me about this whole thing involving the military, before the shutdown, Congress passed the military spending. Now, they claim that this bill has been loosely worded. Now, I haven't read the bill, so I cannot say, you know, as a fact. But you hear all the pundits saying vaguely worded, loosely worded. What that means to me, you can interpret it one way or another. You know, mm-hmm. It's depending upon who the individual is that's doing the interpretation. So now, someone from the administration handed this over to lawyers. Now, these lawyers are working for the administration. So they're going to make a decision that is in alignment with the administration. So Obama's administration is directly responsible for the denial of these benefits to these 27 families. And he cannot deny it. Instead, they're trying to say, oh, you handed us vaguely worded. But if another set of attorneys from a conservative group were to look at the same legislation, they would interpret it differently, and the benefits would have gone out. So using that excuse is just that, an excuse. It's not an answer. It's not a solution. He actually used this to get the certain results.
Yeah,
and
no
the
doubt.
End result is to punish the American people the hardest way he can because of the shutdown. Look what these bad Republicans did. Bad, bad, bad. It's their fault. So he can't blame it on Bush, but he can now blame it on Republicans.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt indeed. I don't know why this guy keeps getting away with what he's doing. It amazes me. And maybe we'll do another show on it sometime in the future. I believe that the emperor has no clothes. I believe he's buck naked, and folks are beginning to warm to that fact, albeit way, way, way too late.
Yeah, unfortunately, the damage has been done, folks,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the apathy of the American voting public is the reason why this happened. You know, and
yeah.
when he was running for president, and Sean Hannity, bless his heart, was doing the Stop Hillary Express. And every time I heard him on XM radio doing the Stop Hillary Express, I'd be yelling, yelling and screaming, you don't know what you're asking for. You know, if it's a Clinton, at least we can control a Clinton up to a certain point. But we don't, we're not going to be able to control this man. You're going to have a runaway train wreck. He's going to be elected as an American Idol president. And that's exactly what happened. You know, you want to vote for American Idol, then watch the TV and vote for whoever makes the biggest fool of themselves, you know, on that show. But don't take that attitude into the political arena, because look at the damage that has happened because people had the American Idol mentality.
Yeah, exactly. And you're exactly right. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we've gotten to that point in our history where we elect someone because they speak well and they look good in a suit. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm being, I don't know. It's just, well, it's crazy.
Yeah, and under this administration, and everyone's saying Nixon was bad with his trampling of the Constitution, with his violation of, you know, privacy and so on and so forth. But what is going on under this administration is far worse. The attacks by the IRS. And now the IRS having given taxpayer information to the White House staff, that is in direct violation of federal law and punishable by up to 5 years in prison.
That would be wonderful news if we had an actual attorney general who believed in following the law. He's an Obama puppet. I don't even think that – why is it that the president has, you know, the power to appoint the attorney general? I mean, he's beholden to him. I mean, I don't know. Why would the Attorney General of the United States prosecute members of the White House staff for such an egregious act? I mean, it's not even in his best interest to do so. I mean, so it's like a crime that's certain to go unpunished, and the folks who are asking for that information, knowing that it's a federal crime, they know it. And they know that little, if anything, is going to happen. We're going to appoint a special prosecutor. So
and who appoints the special prosecutor? The president, right?
Exactly.
We had this very same argument back in the 70s with Richard Nixon. And if you remember, we went through a series of attorney generals because of the Watergate scandals. And
no doubt. Hey, but you know what got Nixon? The press. But we don't have that now. If it wasn't for the New York Times reporters who went out of their way to bring to light Richard Nixon's crimes, he would have gone on to be, you know, a pretty good president, you know, in terms of his policies. But you know, he was exposed by the press. Obama stands very little chance, if any at all, of being exposed by the press.
No, very little chance. And the people that are exposing what he's doing, they're being called whack jobs. There's what's that word I'm trying to think of? I can't think. The word just flew right out of my head. Suffering from
oh my goodness! Yeah.
I got it. Being called birth, so and so. Any name. Once they tag you with a name, then they can put you in a box and then say, "Oh, bad person. This person's a birther. This person is a conspiracy theorist. This is a right wing nut job." You know, they put that tag on you because it's easy. That's name calling. Name calling comes easy. Having a logical debate is hard. It actually takes thought. It takes research. It takes knowledge. It takes certain skills that they lack. And because they lack these skills, they'll tag you with a name and hang you out to dry. And it's easy for them. It's the easy way out.
You're exactly right. How much traction, think of how much traction Hillary Clinton's vast, quote, vast white right-wing conspiracy, end quote, phrase was, how much traction that's gotten over the years. All she had to do was throw that out there. I think she was on the Today Show when she said it. That's still being used to this very day. And it's amazing. And I just hope that we're able to get through the last couple of years of this administration relatively unscathed in terms of his policies, and that a Republican administration will come in and reverse most of these things and at least curtail the damage that's been done so far.
And a lot of damage has been done. You know, Doc Jones, this show has taken, just flown by. You know, it's 4 minutes left on the clock, and I had a blast with you. And poor Cool Mike, he missed a good show, and I want to thank you for all your help. And unfortunately, our guest did not show up. I don't know what happened. It happens. You know, that's what happens in showbiz. You know, they'll say yes, 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 and all of a sudden they don't show up. We've had this happen a couple of times, but hopefully he'll come back and we'll talk about the attack on America by these Muslim terrorists through our system, how they've gotten into our government, into our schools, into our factories, and have been slowly trying to take over the United States, and we got to stop them before it becomes too late. But we're going to be back on Tuesday, and we're going to have Dan Lichen back. He's the author of George Washington. Oh, geez. Again, I'm suffering from brain farts. The George Washington Vision. George Washington Vision. He's going to be coming, and we'll be having fun with him on Tuesday. And we've got a lot of other guests coming back on. Also, L. Todd Wood has a new book out, and I'm trying to schedule him. Hopefully, he'll be on Friday. I'm going to be talking to him over the weekend. So we'll have great guests lined up back again. So I am back in full force. And hopefully, we'll have Cool Mike joining us also.
Yeah, that will be great. Then if you can't make it, I'll be there for you, Annie. I guarantee it. Unless I'm dead, of course.
And again, our prayers again go out to G-Ski Rocks, who is in the hospital. We wish him a swift recovery. And until then, I would say, everyone, good night, God bless, and have a very safe weekend.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. American, I've got the will, you stand up, don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud, Americans.